قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده. Tell them, who has forbidden the adornment which Allah has produced for His slaves? This doesn't mean that we all go and become nuns and sit in convents. No. Who has forbidden the beauty which Allah has produced for His slaves and the pure things? Say, they are in the life of this world for those who believe and exclusively for the believers on the Day of Judgment. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ Thus do we explain the verses in detail. لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ For a people who have knowledge, who know all this. Say, indeed my Lord has forbidden evil sins, whether committed openly or secretly. And unrighteous oppression, joining partners in worship with Allah for which He has given no authority, and saying things about Allah of which you have no knowledge. And this is the fashion nowadays, to speak confidently about religion, and to speak confidently about Islam even if you've never opened the Quran in your life. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلْ Allah warns us, time is running out, people, wake up. And every nation has its appointed term. When their term comes, neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it an hour. Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, if there come to you messengers from amongst you, reciting to you my verses, then whoever is Allah conscious and makes amends, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. But those who reject our signs and treat them with arrogance, they are the dwellers of hell. They will abide therein forever. Who is more unjust than one who invents a lie against Allah or rejects His signs? For such, their appointed portion will reach them from the book. Now people often question that why is it that sinners do so well and people who disobey Allah have been given everything and they've been given wealth? Allah is telling us that whether someone sins or obeys Allah, His worldly risk will reach him until when our messengers come to them. Now what messengers are these? The angels of death. To take their souls, the angels will say, where are those whom you used to invoke and worship besides Allah? They will reply, they have vanished and deserted us, and they will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. قَالَدْ خُلُوفِ أُمَمٍ Allah will say, enter you in the company of nations who passed away before you, of men and jinn into the fire. Every time a new nation enters, it curses its sister, until they will all be gathered together, all in the fire. The last of them will say to the first of them, Our Lord, these misled us, so give them a double torment of the fire. Allah will say, for each one there is double, but you know not. The first of them will say to the last of them, you were not better than us. So taste the torment for what you used to earn. In other words, the followers will be trying to blame the leaders that Allah punished them more, and the leaders will be saying, No Allah, they deserve an equal punishment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ Indeed, those who deny our signs and are arrogant about them. Shaitan's crime, arrogance. I'm not going to obey Allah. I don't see the sense in this, so why should I obey Him? For them, the gates of heaven will never be opened, and they will not enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of the needle, which is impossible. Thus do we recompense the criminals. Theirs will be a bed of hellfire, and over them coverings of hellfire. Thus do we recompense the zalimeen, the wrongdoers. Now, over here in this verse, Allah mentions that they will never enter heaven until the camel enters the eye of the needle. And early on, Allah mentions the time when the angels come to them. Have we ever wondered about what will that scene be? What lies in store for us when the angel of death actually comes? This companion Al-Bara ibn Azib said, We went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a burial of an Ansari man until we arrived at the grave. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and we sat around him. Then he said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of the grave. And he said, Indeed, the believing servant, the mu'min, when leaving this life and journeying to the hereafter, will have angels descend upon him. Their faces will be white as if they were suns. They will have with them a shroud from the shrouds of paradise. Then the angel of death will say, O you pious soul, come to forgiveness and pleasure from your Lord. And so, it will come out as a drop comes out of the mouth of a jug, in other words, easily. And they will place it in that shroud, and there will emanate from it a smell like that of the most sweet-smelling musk on the face of the earth. Then they shall ascend with it, until they reach the lower sky. Then they shall ask permission to enter, and they will be granted entry until they enter at the seventh heaven. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, write the book of my servant in Illiyin, which is the highest record. Then he shall be returned, and two angels shall come and sit him up next to them and shall ask him, who is your Lord? He will reply, my Lord is Allah. Then they shall ask him, what is your religion? He shall answer them, my religion is Islam. Then they shall ask him, who is this man who is sent among you? He will reply, he is the messenger of Allah. Then they shall ask him, what have you done? He shall reply, I read the book of Allah. Then I believed in it and I accepted it. The angel will ask him, who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is your prophet? And he will answer, my Lord is Allah, my religion is Islam, and my prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then a caller will call from the sky, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread out for him from heaven, and clothe him from heaven, and open a door for him from heaven. So its goodness and its fragrance will come to him. Then his grave will be expanded for him as far as he can see. And the disbelieving transgressor, if he is leaving this life and journeying to the hereafter, then angels will descend upon him. Their faces will be black. They will have with him a coarse woolen fabric. And the angel of death will come and say, O wicked soul, come out to anger from your Lord and fury. So it will be ripped away as a skewer is ripped out of damp cotton. Then he will take the soul and they will place it in the sackcloth and there will emanate from it a stench like that of the most evil smelling corpse on the face of the earth. Then they shall ascend with it. And when they reach the lowest heaven, they shall ask permission to enter and they will not be granted entry. And Allah will say, write the book of my servant in Sijjin. And his soul will be returned to his body. He won't be allowed to enter. And then two harsh angels shall come to terrify and set him up and shall ask him, who is your Lord? He will reply, I don't know. Then they shall ask him, what is your religion? He shall answer them, I don't know. Then they shall ask him, who is this man who is sent among you? He will say, I don't know. I heard people saying something, and so I said it. And then a caller will call from the sky, my slave has spoken falsely, so spread out for him from hell, and open a door for him from hell, so its heat and hot wind will come to him, and his grave will be contracted upon him, until his limbs are caught up one among another, and a door of hell will be opened to him within his grave, and will spread out for him sheets of hell fire. Allahumma ajirna min azab al-qabr. This is the recompense for one who disbelieves in Allah, for one who isn't bothered in studying about Allah. If we don't have knowledge of these questions in this world, who's going to tell us the answers in the grave? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And on the other end of the spectrum, those who believe and do good deeds. We do not burden any soul beyond his capacity. Islam is easy. Islam is a blessing. It's not difficult. We've made it difficult for ourselves. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Such are the dwellers of paradise. They will live therein forever. And we shall remove from their breasts any hatred or sense of injury. In other words, before entering Jannah, we learn from a hadith, the people will be stopped on a bridge and their mutual wrongs will be rectified. If they had any grievances, if they had any resentments, then they will be cleansed and then they will be entered into paradise. Rivers flowing under them and they will say, Alhamdulillah. All praises are for Allah who has guided us to this. And never could we have found guidance, were it not that Allah had guided us. Indeed, the messengers of our Lord came with the truth. وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. And it will be called out to them, this is the paradise which you have inherited for what you used to do. And the dwellers of paradise will call out to the dwellers of the fire, saying, we have indeed found true what our Lord had promised us. Have you also found true what your Lord promised? They shall say yes. Then a crier will proclaim between them, the curse of Allah is on the wrongdoers. Who are the wrongdoers? Those who stopped people from the path of Allah, who discouraged them either by setting an example for them or by actually telling them things against Islam, and would seek to make it crooked, and they were disbelievers in the hereafter. And between them will be a screen, and on a wall will be men, whose good and evil deeds would be equal in scale, who would recognize all by their marks. They will call out to the dwellers of paradise, Salamun alaikum, peace be on you. And at that time they will not yet have entered it, but they will hope to enter it with certainty. Who are these people sitting on the wall? We learn from a hadith that the scales of the Day of Judgment are so precise that when someone's good deeds outweigh his evil deeds by one atom or by a tiny amount, he enters Jannah. If someone's evil deeds outweigh his good deeds by just one tiny amount, he enters the fire. What happens if someone's good deeds and evil deeds are equal? The Prophet ﷺ said, these are the people who will be sitting on that wall. They will not yet have entered Jannah, but they will be hoping. And he gave us an example of the sort of people who could be amongst them. People who might have gone for jihad, but they disobeyed their parents. So on one side, we have this jihad which stopped them from entering Jahannam. But because they disobeyed their parents, that prevented them from entering Jannah. Now we need to understand that we should never trivialize our sins or be complacent about our good deeds. And think of the way we speak to our parents. We think nothing of raising our voices before our parents, of yelling at our mothers maybe. In Allah's eyes, this disobedience, this rudeness to one's parents is so heavy in the scales that God forbid it could outweigh all our other good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said that these people will be made to wait the entirety of the Day of Judgment, and then ultimately Allah will admit them into His mercy and they will enter Jannah. So you might think, well, so what's the big deal? They'll go to Jannah in the end. We who cannot endure to wait 5 minutes in a traffic jam, how could we think of waiting 50,000 years? That's how long the Day of Judgment is. A day when there is no shade except Allah's shade. A day when people will be drowning in tears of remorse, in their own sweat. Could we wait? And think of the tension and the humiliation, like a student who's told your result is going to be given to you at the end. And he watches the other students, and some are passing, and some are promoted, and some are failing. And every time he sees those students who have been promoted, his heart leaps with hope, and he prays that he is admitted amongst them. And when he sees the failures, what does he feel? Fear and agony. Could we endure 50,000 years of tension? So Allah says they will not yet have entered paradise, but they will hope to enter it. And when their eyes will be turned towards the dwellers of the fire, they will say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. O our Lord, do not place us with the people who are wrongdoers. Now that proves that they are so tense about their outcome. They're not sitting there cockily, well, we know we'll make it to Jannah. If they were, then why would they be praying like this? Because they are in tension. O our Lord, do not place us with the people who are wrongdoers. And the men on the wall will call to the men whom they would recognize by their marks, saying, of what benefit to you were your great numbers and your arrogance? In other words, the people on the wall, and that could be both men and women, it doesn't necessarily mean just men, they will call out to the people in hell that, of what benefit to you were your great numbers and your arrogance? Are these people those of whom you swore that Allah would never show them mercy? In other words, they will say to the people in hell, then look at the people who made it to Jannah. They are the same people whom you despise. Look, it has been said to them, enter paradise. No fear shall be on you, nor shall you grieve. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. And the dwellers of the fire will call to the dwellers of paradise. Pour on us some water or anything that Allah has provided you with. Like a beggar begging for leftovers, begging for some crumbs from the rich man's table. What will the people of Jannah say? They will say, both Allah has forbidden to the disbelievers. Who are the disbelievers? Does this seem harsh? Allah says, no. Who took their religion as a joke? They weren't serious about Islam. They weren't serious about obeying Allah. Oh yes, Allah will forgive us. We can't always be praying. We can't always be crying before Allah. And the life of this world deceived them. Lots of time to obey Allah. Allah is going to forgive me. Too much to do and then I'll turn to Allah. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ. So this day we shall forget them. As they forgot their meeting of this day, and as they used to reject our signs. Certainly we have brought them a book which we have explained in detail with knowledge. What justification did they have for forgetting Allah? What excuse do they have for forgetting Allah when they have the Quran? A guidance and a mercy? لَقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. For a people who have iman. Do they await the final fulfillment of the event? On the day the event is finally fulfilled, those who neglected it before will say, indeed the messengers of our Lord came with the truth. Now are there any intercessors for us that they might intercede on our behalf? Or could we be sent back so that we might do deeds other than those deeds which we used to do? Indeed they have lost their own selves, and that which they used to fabricate has gone away from them. People say, well, I'll just explain to Allah and Allah will understand my circumstances. Allah says, on that day when they're standing before Him, all their false justifications, all their excuses will vanish. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. Indeed, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Now you might have wondered to yourself that Allah who just has to say kun fayakun, why does He tell us that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? And we need to understand that these are not days by our measure or by our reckoning. These are unspecified periods of time because our day is not Allah's day. So why does Allah mention that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? For two reasons. One reason, to inspire gratitude within us. Just as when you love someone and they're going to come and stay with you, you prepare their room. You put flowers in that room. You keep on checking that to make sure that everything is there that they could possibly need. So this is partly a manifestation of Allah's tenderness for us, that He prepared this beautiful dunya for us, for the children of Adam alayhi salam, and also to teach us patience and self-control. That if you study everything in this dunya, that day comes after night, and you have to wait for the night to end. You can't just get up in the middle of the night and say, no, I want the sun to come out now. In the same way, in our life, and especially when we turn towards Allah, when we start learning about Allah, we need to exercise sabr and self-control. Some people say, oh, I've read the Quran and it didn't move me. It's not just one day's battle that I've read the Quran in Ramzan and now I should become an angel. No, it's a lifelong struggle. So Allah tells us, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He rose over the throne. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly. And He created the sun, the moon and the stars, subjected to His command. If they are serving Allah, then what about us? Where are we going? What are we doing with our lives? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. His is the creation and the command. See how logical it is that when Allah is the owner, then obviously Allah has to give the command. The master of the house decides what's going to be done with the house. The person who's paying the servant's salaries gives them their orders. لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَلَهُ الْأَمْرُ. It's so logical, it's so simple. His is the creation and therefore His is the command. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Subhanallah. In no other relationship in this world can you go on asking. Where the other person is telling you, ask me and I will give you. Even between a mother and her child, there will come a day when the mother will say, now stop, do something for yourself. But Allah says, Udu'u rabbakum. Call to your Rabb, the one who is nurturing you every instant of the day, who is nourishing you, who is sustaining you. How do we call upon Allah? Tadarru'an, in humility. Not the arrogant way some people pray, that, well, Allah, I've suffered so much and now I can't bear it anymore. No, that's not the way you pray to Allah. Wa khufya, and secretly. In other words, Allah is saying, build a relationship with Him. Bond with Him. Have moments of intimacy with Allah. Where you're praying to Allah, as Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, that when my slave remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. He does not love the aggressors, those who exceed the limits. And some people, when they make a dua, they shout at the top of their voices and they wail loudly. And this is most displeasing to Allah. As Allah told us about Zakariya alayhi salam's dua, إِذْنَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he called to his Lord, a secret call, a private dua. And do not do mischief on the earth after it has been set in order. وَدَعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And call to him with fear and hope. And this is the constant state of the moment, wavering between fear of Allah's anger and hoping for Allah's mercy. Neither extremes, neither is he complacent, nor is he despairing, wavering between the two states. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah's mercy is close to those who do ihsan in every relationship. And it is Allah who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings, going before His mercy, till when they have carried a heavy laden cloud, we drive it to a land that is dead, then we cause water to descend thereon, then we produce every kind of fruit therewith. Similarly, we shall raise up the dead, so that you may remember. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. The vegetation of a pure land comes forth easily by the permission of its Lord. And that which is bad brings forth nothing but a little with difficulty. And remember the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ told us that divine guidance is like rain. Now when rain falls upon land, there are three kinds of land. One is land which is fertile, it absorbs itself and people benefit from it. And that is like the person who acts upon Allah's knowledge and then conveys it. And the second kind of land is that which is hard. It does not benefit itself, but it holds the water so that others come and they can utilize the water. And that is like the person who does not act upon Allah's teachings, but he conveys them to others. And then you have the land which is barren. Neither does it help itself, nor does it benefit others. And that's like the person, neither is he seeking Allah's knowledge himself, nor is he interested in conveying it to others. And we can decide what sort of land we wish to be. Thus do we explain the signs, لِقَوْمِ يَشْكُرُونَ, for a people who give thanks. Now Allah relates the incidents of three kinds of people, of three nations, that when their Prophet came to them, they too were divided in two categories, the fertile land and the barren land. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people, and he said, O my people, and this is the style of da'wah that the Prophets always followed, not talking down to the people, not setting themselves apart. O my people, that I am one of you, I care for you. Worship Allah. You have no other God but He. Certainly I fear for you the torment of a great day. The leaders of his people said, Indeed, we see you in plain error. Nuh said, O my people, there is no error in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the universe. I convey unto you the messages of my Lord, and I give sincere advice to you, and I know from Allah what you do not know. Do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord, through a man from amongst you, that he may warn you, so that you may fear Allah, and that you may receive his mercy? فَكَذَّبُوهُ. So they denied him. So we saved him and those along with him in the ship, and we drowned those who denied our signs. Indeed, they were a blind people, and this blindness is spiritual blindness. So Allah tells us that when Nuh alayhi salam came to his people, the people were divided into two groups. Who won out in the end? The ones who followed Nuh. And to the people of Ad we sent their brother Hud. In other words, Hud alayhi salam, the Prophet, is like a well-wisher. He is one who cares about his people. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God but He. Will you not then fear Allah? The leaders of those who disbelieved among his people said, Indeed we see you in folly, and indeed we think you are one of the liars. Hud said, O my people, there is no foolishness in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey to you the messages of my Lord, and I am a trustworthy advisor for you. Do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord, through a man from amongst you to warn you? And remember that he made you successors after the people of Nuh, and increased you amply in stature. So remember the graces of Allah, so that you may be successful. They said, You have come to us that we should worship Allah alone, and forsake that which our fathers used to worship? So bring us that wherewith you have threatened us, if you are of the truthful. Hud said, Torment and wrath have already fallen on you from your Lord. Do you dispute with me over names, which you have named you and your fathers with no authority from Allah? In other words, he said, These names that you have invented, you have no proof for them. And in our society we find people bestowing titles like Ganjbash and Data, which means the one who gives, upon human beings. Where do we find the proof or the authority for such names? And Hud alayhi salam told them, Then wait, I am with you among those who wait. So we saved him and those who were with him by mercy from us. And we cut off the roots of those who denied our signs. وَمَا كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. And they were not believers. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And to the people of Thamud we sent their brother Salih. He said, Ya Qawmi, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God but He. Indeed, there has come to you a clear sign from your Lord. This she-camel of Allah is a sign to you. Now they had asked for a miracle and they had asked that we want to see this camel coming from the mountain. But when she came, what happened? He warned them, This camel of Allah is a sign for you. So leave her to graze on Allah's earth and touch her not with harm, lest the painful torment should seize you. And remember when he made you successors after Ad and gave you habitations in the land, you build for yourselves palaces and plains and carve out homes in the mountains. Now it seems like they were very talented people. And notice that the Prophet is not telling them that you can't acquire this worldly skill and expertise. He's not saying stop doing all this and just worship Allah. He says, no, you can do this, but remember the graces from Allah. And this is ibadah. Not that we give up the dunya, but whatever we do in the dunya, we do it and we thank Allah for it. So remember the graces of Allah and do not go about making mischief on the earth. The leaders of those who were arrogant among his people said to those who were counted weak, to such of them as believed, Do you know that Salih is one sent from his Lord? They tried to misguide them. And people will always come up and try and discourage you and doubt you. Well, how do you know that this Quran is from Allah? And what proof do you have? The believer said, we indeed believe in that with which he has been sent. Those who were arrogant said, indeed we disbelieve in that which you believe in. So they killed the she-camel. And they insolently defied the command of their Lord. And they said, O Salih, bring about your threats if you are indeed one of the messengers. So the earthquake seized them and they lay dead, prostrate in their homes. Then Salih turned from them and said, O my people. See how much he loved them? He's still saying, Ya Qawmi, O my people, and there's so much sadness in his words. I have indeed conveyed to you the message of my Lord, and have given you good advice. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ But you do not love those who advise you. And remember Lut, when he said to his people, Do you commit the worst sin, such as none preceding you has committed in the world? Indeed, you practice your lusts on men instead of women, and these were people who were the first ones to commit the sick crime of homosexuality. No, but you are a people transgressing beyond bounds. And the answer of his people was only that they said, Drive them out of your town. These are indeed men who want to be pure. In other words, drive these do-gooders out of here. Then we saved him and his family, except his wife. She was of those who remained behind in the torment. And do you know what the reason for that was? Not that she was committing this crime, because she supported the homosexuals and she condoned their crime. And this is the creed of today as well, live and let live. You know, you'll be asked about yourself, so you shouldn't pass judgments on others. But when Lut alayhi salam's wife, instead of supporting her husband's mission and condemning what was wrong, when she condoned this sick crime, what happened? She was also caught in this azab. And we rained down on them a rain of stones, then see what was the end of the criminals. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا Now if you've noticed that each ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in each story is bringing out one crime that they committed. So the people of Nuh were doing shirk, and the people of Thamud were doing fasad, they were spreading corruption in the earth. The people of Lut were doing immorality, and what were the people of Madian doing? We sent their brother Shu'aib. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God but He. Indeed, a clear proof from your Lord has come to you. So give full measure. And wrong not men in their things. In other words, they did not fulfill people's rights. And do not do mischief on the earth. After it has been set in order, that will be better for you if you are believers. So Iman is not just prayers and fasting. Iman is fulfilling human beings' rights upon us as well. And do not sit on every road, threatening and hindering from the path of Allah, those who believe in Him and seeking to make it crooked. And when we Muslims cheat others, and when we Muslims break our promises and don't keep our commitments, then what happens? People are discouraged and people are put off Islam. And remember, when you were but few and He multiplied you, by their corruption and their dishonesty, and they would intimidate others, and see what was the end of the mischief makers. And if there is a party of you who believe in that with which I have been sent, and a party who do not believe. Now we find this in our society as well. Two categories, those who accept, those who obey, and those who disobey. What should we do? Fasbir, so be patient. To be constant in good deeds, and to be patient in times of difficulty. For people who defy society and obey Allah above all. So be patient until Allah judges between us. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ And He is the best of judges. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ